Amen. All right, now some of you are new today. Let me see. Did everybody get a spoon? Hold up your spoon. If you didn't get a spoon, just hold up your hand. Everybody got a spoon? Who did not get a spoon? That means you came in early. We need a spoon over here if we could. Everybody else got one? Now, let me ask you. Now, if you're new to Crossbridge, like if this is the raise your hand if this is the first time you've ever gotten a spoon from a church that you didn't steal from the kitchen, okay? I'm just saying, okay? I know some of you. I mean, so now raise your hand if you've been at Crossbridge and you've gotten at least one spoon before, okay? Keep your hand up. Now, keep your hand up if you've received more, or you've received at least two spoons, all right? Keep your hand up if you've received three spoons. Keep your hands up if you've received seven spoons. You better tell the truth, Jesus knows. Raise your hand if you've received 10 spoons. I'm just telling there's 12 total. So, okay, my wife is like, I have. I got a whole place setting. We didn't even register at Dillard's when we got married. We just, all right. How many, anybody got all 12 spoons? Been here, heard it every time. Awesome. Good for you. Bless you. Now, but I got an award for somebody. I don't know if you can see this. I have a golden spoon. Has anybody ever used the spoon analogy with somebody else? Have you? Come on, Olivia, come on up here. Mick, come on. Give one to Mick behind you, and hang on. Go give one to Mickey over there. If I didn't see you. Okay, let me explain the story for if this is your first time to get a spoon from a church. Okay, so when we first started CrossBridge, it's like our first year, we were meeting at the time over in Hardy Oak Elementary School. And it really, CrossBridge looked like this, just shrunk down in most every single way. But it was still powerful and good, and people were coming and we were growing. We maybe had, I don't know, 80 people or so. And go ahead and drop your, we should all just drop our spoons now so we can get it out of our system. Thank you. Okay, now take it from your husband and hold it for him. And so I get a call from a guy, a sweet guy in our church. He and his family have been in there for just a few months because we haven't been going that long. And he says, hey, Kirk, I just wanted to let you know, we really respect you, but we're gonna find another church. And I was like, oh, I mean, no pastor likes to hear that. But I appreciated him telling me. So I didn't wonder, hey, where's so-and-so? So he says, we're going to find another church. And I was like, really? I mean, what's going on, man? He said, well, I mean, we really respect you, but we're just not being fed. And I said, oh, you know, that's kind of like a spoon to the heart. And I said, okay, there's going to be some spoon jokes, okay? Just get ready. So I said, well, are you doing the Bible study that we put in our bulletin, our handout every week? Are you doing the Bible study? He goes, well, no, I really haven't been really doing that Bible study much. And I said, well, are you in a life group? How's your life group going? Is it going okay? He goes, well, we never really got connected in a life group. And I said, well, have you thought about maybe asking your ministry team leader? Like we have greeters, ushers, parking lot people. I said, have you ever thought of asking your ministry team leader maybe to do some discipleship with you? And he said, well, you know, we never really got on one of those ministry teams. And so we sort of wound down the conversation, and I was discouraged. You know, you just hate to see somebody leave, especially somebody you enjoy. I mean, it's okay for some people to leave, but just teasing. And so we have this little office at that time, and my assistant, administrative assistant, is in there, and I tell her what just happened, and she can tell I'm discouraged. And she, I won't say, I'm not using any names here. She's had a way of putting things. I'll just say that. She was stirring her coffee while I was telling her, how, you know, man, I'm just so just sad. Man, I hate that family to leave. I love them here, and we need people. And she was stirring her coffee, and she said, you know, Kirk, every week, you lay out a buffet for people. And that boy, he needs to pick up the spoon and eat it. And I was like, come on, girl, that'll preach. Get her up on stage. And so from that time on, I realized that is true. That every Sunday, you know, you got awesome lights and smoke and CD quality music. I mean, these guys are awesome. In fact, that's why I'm wearing this shirt to advertise Brian McCleary's new CD. And then we have like seven people in our church that can bring it the word on Sundays. I mean, there aren't many churches some way bigger than us that don't have seven people that at any given time I could say, hey, could you teach for us on a Sunday? We're very blessed in that. And we got ministry team leaders, and you come and get prayed for. And on Sunday, it's awesome. But this is like just one meal a week, you know. And I don't care how well we feed you. By tomorrow, you're going to be hungry again. And if this is all you're getting, then you're going to be just like that guy. And you're going to feel like, you know, I'm not getting fed here. Or maybe even worse, you may feel like you are getting fed here, but all you're doing is receiving what we serve up on a Sunday. And in reality, spiritually, you could actually be starving. Now, I want to give you, so from that time on, from 2004 on, most every year, not every year, but most years, I would teach a pick up the spoon sermon about your responsibility to feed yourself spiritually. And what was really funny was 8 years later, that dude comes back to Crossbridge. We're in this building. I see him and his family. I remember them. And they're a wonderful family. So I went, hey, and I came up, gave him a hug. Man, I said, man, I'm so glad you're back. And he said, you know, Kirk, I don't know if you remember, but I had a conversation with you about 8 years ago about not being fed. And I was thinking, well, I sort of remember. Been using you as an example for 8 years. I sort of remember. He said, well, I said to you that, but I was like, yeah, I remember that. He said, well, I told you I wasn't being fed. And I remember those questions you asked me. And it finally dawned on me 8 years later that I wasn't doing my part, that you couldn't do any more than you were doing. And provide life groups for me and kids ministry for me and opportunities to serve and be in Bible study and to learn. And I just wasn't doing my part. And I want you to know that seldom. I have plenty of people leave, fewer people that tell me, hey, here's why we're leaving. And even fewer people that come back and say, you know what? I should never have left. But this guy did. And he began to pick up the spoon, and he and his family became one of the strongest couple leaders that we have in Crossbridge until he got transferred to another city and they moved on. And now he knows, just so you know, now he knows he's the pick up the spoon guy. In fact, I was teaching it and I didn't know he was here that Sunday. He goes, oh my gosh, is that me? And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of you. So anyway, so pick up the spoon. And we do that because Jesus has good things for you. And what we're doing on Sunday, I want you to experience Jesus. I mean, like when our team prays before Sunday morning, we are praying, Jesus, would you show up spiritually? The Bible says that when we gather in his name for his purposes, desiring to see him, that he joins us. I mean, now, I get we're living in a physical realm and navigating life by our physical senses, and I can't see Jesus, but I can see you. But there is a spiritual realm that is just as real, nay, even more real than the physical realm. And Jesus says, I'm going to be with you when you gather in my name. Just a couple of you gather. You're going to experience me differently. And so our desire in our service is to give the Holy Spirit room so that you feel and experience and know something of Jesus, of the Son of God moving in your heart. It's not as much effort as we put into preparing Sunday morning. We pray for divine invisibility. We pray to be a highly polished mirror that only reflects the glory of Jesus, because there is no use in being impressed by anybody on stage. Just none. But if Jesus shows up, who says he will never forsake you and never abandon you, Jesus who says he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, Jesus who says he'll give wisdom to you and any number of other promises, that's worth coming to. And so we're teaching that and experiencing that. That's sometimes, we do church a little differently sometimes, because we'll start doing practical stuff in the service, you know, for you to experience, you know, the presence of God. And let me tell you, in Isaiah 55, God tells Isaiah to say this to us about the relationship he wants us to have with him. He says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. If you don't have any money, that's okay. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. You know, this is how God describes what he wants every single person in here to experience with him in a relationship with Jesus. You know what I call this? I call this the Golden Corral verse. Come on. So anybody ever been to Golden Corral? Raise your hand. It's okay to admit it. We got a recovery group for that. I ate at Golden Corral literally 18 years ago. I am still full. And that was before the 6-tier chocolate fountain. I'm like, honey, on our anniversary, can't we go back? And not even for Father's Day will she let me go back there. But you know, here's the deal. You may not like Golden Corral. I did go to the website just to get some insight, to do some research. And I was going to go to their restaurant just to research it. But here's the deal. Whether you like or hate Golden Corral, here's one thing we could all agree on. There is no excuse for anyone. No one ever starved in a Golden Corral. All right? I mean, they got this massive buffet that's out there, right? And there is no way that you could possibly starve. They have so many options that range from breakfast to dessert. It's an awesome feast. But the one thing Golden Corral will not do, they will not sit you in a chair and pick up a spoon and feed you. That would be weird were they to do that. They won't do it. The spoons are right there. But you have to pick up the spoon to eat. But sometimes as followers of Jesus, you know what we're like? We're like standing in a Golden Corral with our back turned to it, starving, wondering why someone won't feed us. When in reality, even in the restaurant business, they know, well, sir, I'm sorry. You have to pick up the spoon. And that's what I'm saying to you. If you will pick up the spoon, you will find that Jesus meets you the way that you hear us talking about. You'll see the promises of Jesus manifesting in your life just like the Bible says they will. But you must pick up the spoon. Why? Because in reality, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. I remember a guy that had been, a younger guy that had gotten married. He had been married about 13, 14 months. And I saw him and I said, hey, how's it being an old married guy now? You know, I was just messing with him. I'd been married about 20 years at that time. And he said, well, you know, we're kind of struggling. We don't feel very close together. We don't feel very close. I don't feel like we have any fun together. And I said, well, do you guys have kids yet? He said, no. I said, bro, you got no excuse to not have fun. I'm just saying, you don't have any excuse there. You know what I mean. And so I said, well, tell me. I said, I know you both work, and that's hard. That there's pressure on you. You both come home tired. Tell me what it looks like when you come home at the end of the day. He said, well, you know, while she's fixing dinner, I am usually looking at my phone, catching up on the news and stuff like that. Wives, you see any red flag going up right there? Okay. I said, okay. And then so she fixes dinner while you're on your phone, essentially. Now, what happens after dinner? Well, you know, I don't have very much time before I got to hit it hard the next day. And so, you know, I have my PS22 or whatever it is nowadays. You know, I play this video. I usually am playing a video game. I said, like, well, what's she doing? Well, she's doing her stuff. And I'm like, well, when you say her stuff, what do you mean? Well, you know, I see you're doing laundry or doing something in the kitchen or something. And I cannot help it. I start this. If you ever see me doing this, okay, it's that universal sign of stress or like, oh, Jesus, help him. You know, I'm doing this. And I'm like, you understand? So I just explained to him essentially what we're talking about today. Oh, there is so much more for you to have if you will take your PS4 console or whatever it is, and if you would just put it in the trash, and then if you would, when you come home, take your phone and put it on a shelf and get in the kitchen and help or listen or ask your wife how her day was or something, you will find all the things that we promised you when we did your premarital counseling, that stuff will come true. You'll experience more of that. But buddy, you've got to essentially pick up the spoon here. And when you do, there is a feast that is waiting for you. It's amazing. It really is. You know, what we're doing on Sunday is enthusiastically describing for you and authentically describing for you an experience and a relationship that you can have with Jesus every day of the week. Every day of the week. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 39 or so. There was some guys that were persecuting Jesus. Religious leaders didn't like what he was saying. And Jesus said to them, you know, you study the scriptures. You know, you think the scriptures are, you know, the way to eternal life. But you don't realize that they're pointing to me. And you refuse to come to me. He's like saying, you read the scriptures and you're sitting in front of this big buffet, but you don't do anything with it. Scriptures are pointing to me. You have to pick up the spoon and come to me. In James chapter 1, verse 22, James says, don't be someone who just hears the word. I mean, you might come and hear me, or my goodness, you could come here if Billy Graham or raised from the dead or Paul came and preached, or somebody like a really great teacher was here and teaching, and they might inspire you and move you. But you know what James says about that? James says, don't be someone who just hears the word. If you want to experience it, take hold of it, embrace it, you've got to be a doer of the word. If you're not, you're like someone who just looks in a mirror and goes, okay, yeah, I see what I need to do. And then, cool, that's good to know. You know, like whoever looked in a mirror had food on their face and just left it there. Nobody. You know, whoever looked in the mirror, for those of us who have hair, and said, oh, my hair is a mess, and just said, and walked away. We don't do that. That's like a guy who has a flat tire, and he goes onto YouTube to watch a video on how to fix a flat tire, and then he comes back out to his car and is disappointed that it's still flat. He needs to pick up the lug wrench. He needs to pick up the spoon and do it. And Jesus is saying that to us. He has so much for you, though. Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the right things, for they will be filled. He wants to fill. He's telling you, it's right there. You got to hunger and thirst for the right things. And so he's telling you, if we're handling our stress in some way that is destructive or not God's best, we're not going to be filled up. You know, if we're hungering and thirsting for other things that aren't God's best for us, we're not going to be filled up. He won't bless us while we're in the place of disobedience. He won't bless us when we're pursuing something that's not his best. He is both a jealous father and a generous father, and he loves us too much to affirm us when we're going the wrong direction. And so when he says to us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the right things, he's really telling us to pick up the spoon. In fact, let's try that together. Hold your spoon like this, okay? Because I don't want you to go to sleep. And we're going to say with this cadence, pick up the spoon, okay? So when Jesus says you need to hunger and thirst for the right things, he's really telling us to pick up the spoon. And then he says to us in John chapter 14, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And then my Father and I will come and we'll make our home with that person and dwell with that person. Can you imagine what it would be like to have the presence of Jesus with you? You don't have to imagine. He's telling you, I want you to experience my presence, my wisdom, my knowledge, my love, my confidence, the identity that I have for you, the assurance of your salvation. I want you to feel that. And so you need to, he says, obey my teaching. But when he says obey my teaching, hold your spoon up, what he's really saying is, pick up the spoon. You all are awesome at this. James 1:5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, and he'll give it to you generously without finding fault. You know what? That sometimes we think when we do something wrong that God puts us in time out. Like we can't come to him. Well, we did that thing. I said that thing. I looked at that thing. I thought that thing. And so I need to stay over in time out for a while, somewhere out of the light, if I could find a place. There I am. But he says, the moment, regardless of your situation, this is powerful. Regardless of your situation, the moment that your heart longs to know what is right in God's eyes and what is the best thing in God's eyes, the moment that you turn and say, Lord, I want to know what's best in your eyes, is the moment he says, without finding fault, he gives generously to us. But what does he say we have to do? We have to ask God. We have to come to him. What he's really telling us to do is pick up the spoon. Some of you are getting a little lazy. I'm going to give you one more chance. Okay. He says, and I may give you more chances. He says in, I love this. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. He says, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's like three things in there, right? Draw near to me. And what happens the moment you're drawing near to him? Jesus, who is always, always eager to interact with you. Do you hear that? There's nobody else on the planet like that. You know, everybody else you know at some point is a little too busy or a little focused on something else and will say, hang on just a second. At least that to you, if not something worse. But Jesus says he's going to draw near to you the moment you draw near to him. And then he sort of describes, elaborates on part of what it means to draw near to him. And he says, purify or cleanse your hands. That means the things that you're doing, make sure that they're honoring him. That's a way that we draw. If I'm doing something that's not honoring of him and is not his best for me, he's saying, hey, that's going to inhibit your experience of me. One of the ways you draw near to him is by saying, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done doing this. I'm going to get help for this because I can't stop, but I'm going to get help for it. And then he says, purify your hearts. So he's talking about your motives, your thoughts. He's like, long for the things that I long for. Love what I love. Hate what I hate. Seek that. And the moment we do those things, and we are actually drawing near to him, and he immediately responds. He immediately responds. But when he says draw near, when he says purify your hearts, when he says cleanse your hands, what he's really saying altogether, if you have it, raise it, pick up the spoon. You know, there were stories all through the Bible. Bartimaeus, a blind dude that was in Jericho, he was sitting there and he heard a crowd going by. Someone said Jesus was there. He had heard about Jesus, and Bartimaeus begins to call out, Jesus! Jesus! And people are around him going, Bartimaeus, literally the Bible says, Bartimaeus, be quiet. And Bartimaeus will not be quiet. He's like, Jesus, all the louder. He's calling for him. And Jesus stops and he goes over to Bartimaeus and he says, Bartimaeus, what do you want? And he says, I want to see. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. And he heals him, and Bartimaeus can see, and Bartimaeus begins to follow Jesus. Bartimaeus called out to Jesus with his need. He didn't look somewhere else. He went to Jesus for his need. He didn't try to cope with his bitterness or his frustration in some sort of destructive way, as we are sometimes prone to do. He went to Jesus for his need. And when Jesus came over and healed him, Bartimaeus began to follow Jesus. In reality, what Bartimaeus had done was pick up the spoon. That's what he'd done. Another time Jesus was in Jericho. Zacchaeus, a lion cheating tax collector at the time, climbs a tree to see him. Jesus sees him and says, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house today. Zacchaeus climbs down the tree, takes Jesus to his house. They eat together. They talk together. And then Zacchaeus is moved by the wisdom and the power and the presence of Jesus, and has a change of heart, and clearly has made a decision that Jesus is going to call the shots in his life. And he expresses it by saying, he stands up in front of his whole house and says, if I've ever cheated anybody, I'm paying them back four times what I've cheated them of. And Jesus says, this is a sign, an authentic sign that this guy has had a change of heart. But when Zacchaeus, when he climbed up the tree, Zacchaeus was really picking up the spoon. When he responded to Jesus and climbed down, he was picking up the spoon. When he responded to the reality of the lordship of Jesus Christ, he says, I'm gonna respond to this and show my allegiance by giving back four times if I've stolen anything. He was really picking up the spoon. And when we do, we find a feast. I want Nathan Dawson to come up on stage. Nathan has a story of picking up the spoon that I want you all to hear. So let's hear it, buddy.
Just go for it?
Just go for it. Should he go for it?
Okay, so, man, this is good. Pick up the spoon, man. It's exactly what I have gotten to live, really, the past around 3 years of my time here at Crossbridge and really just my walk with Christ. So a little over 3 years ago, I was pretty okay. I was pretty okay. I felt like I was picking up the spoon. I was going to life group. I was going to church. My kids were in ministry or whatever, the kids ministry and all that kind of stuff. I thought I was being a good dad and a good husband. But I really realized that God had a lot more for me than where I was at. So I guess the story really all starts. I was actually not even at church that day. And my wife, she says, hey, there's this Conquer thing and you can go if you need to. I said, oh, okay. All right, cool. I'll go maybe. And I just felt like I was supposed to go. So I picked up the spoon and I went. I was dealing with some addiction with some stuff online and I really had a hard time. And what I realized was that was just a little piece that was hindering what God really had for me. Through the class, I realized that I had a bunch of shame, from being sexually molested as a child. And then a bunch of guilt because I was acting out, because of that and looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at. And really, you know, I was pretty okay even still. I was pretty okay. But there was so much more. And as God began to start to peel the layers of shame and guilt off in my obedience to go to Conquer and then go to life group, but not just go to life group, but be truthful and real and have honest conversations and actually pick up the spoon every time. Get out my phone, take notes while Kirk's preaching, all these different things. I just continue to pick up the spoon. And you know what Kirk's saying when pick up the spoon? It's just being obedient. Just be obedient. Just do it. I tell my son, please just listen to me. And I feel like that's what God tells me all the time. Just please listen to me. I have so much stuff, so much good stuff for you. So much good stuff. And so ultimately, he brought me out of that shame and guilt and really the pride of not wanting to tell anybody that I was hurt or broken. And I laid it out on the table and I started to walk in freedom and I got into life group and I got into discipleship and I went through freedom prayer. And every time I picked up the spoon and every time, every single time.
Don't hold the bottle.
Every single time. Every single time God came through. And I can tell you now that I went from pretty okay to every day's a Friday.
Come on. I'm going to write that down. My next series. Come on.
I joke about it. I'm a contractor, so I there's this one guy that he calls me, and it'll be a Thursday or whatever. Hey, man, how's it going? Bro, I'm doing great. It's a Friday. I'm like, dude, it's Thursday. Don't do that to me. And but really, that's the life I'm living. Every single day I wake up. I get into the Word. I go home. There's hard days, but I don't ever dread going to work. I don't ever dread coming home. And every time I come home, I get to pick up my girl and know that I'm not looking at anything anymore. I get to look my wife in the eyes, where everything about our relationship has multiplied by 100%. My life at work, I'm a fighter now. That fight for my wife again is there. That fight and work is there. I want to go and I want to do more. I want to keep just fighting. And it's like a courage is built up inside of me. I can stand up on the stage and talk about things that nobody would want to talk about in front of their entire church. And it's a life. It's a life that is full. Ultimately, I just encourage y'all to pick up the spoon. Now, if you're dealing with something like that, like what I was dealing with, like with conquer stuff, I call it conquer stuff, but ultimately, you know, the second looks when it comes to, you know, your wife sitting right there, a girl walks by and you have to double take. There's something there. We can fix it. God can fix it through conquer. Yeah. You know, if you're doing a little bit more stuff on the internet, whatever. Come with me. There's 9 other guys that are leading this with me, and it starts September 9th. If it's something outside of that, get into discipleship, go through Freedom Prayer, get into life group. I mean, just do something. But don't just walk through the motions. Go and show up, be truthful, and God's going to bless you. Deuteronomy 28 is the big. It's such a huge. Verse that or chapter that God's brought to my heart. The first part of that chapter talks about obedience and blessing. Ultimately, for me, I really like to simplify things. Blessing always follows obedience.
Yes, that's
Deuteronomy
right.
28.
That's
check it
good.
Out.
Hey, thank you, Nathan. You know, it is interesting. You know, Nathan started out, one of the first places he picked up the spoon was going to this Conquer series because we're trying to raise up men not only to walk in purity, but to be champions for purity. You know, I've been through that course. Raise your hand if you've been through that course, guys. There's a church where we're going to be champions for purity. Nathan not only walked through it, now you're leading it. That's cool. I love that. You know, there's a million ways that you could pick up the spoon today. A million ways. I mean, if you're struggling in parenting, then sign up. We're starting an art of parenting class. Pick up the spoon. Sign up for it. If you're struggling with your finances and you're a mess and you're underwater in every other way, then sign up for our Financial Peace University. It's a way to pick up the spoon. But really, there's three, in all the ways that you can pick up a spoon, there's really three broad categories that Jesus invites you to experience him. And so, all the little ways that we pick up the spoon flow into these three ways that we experience God. Three big ways. And the first one is that we experience God as we are through the Word and with the Holy Spirit. You know, you can read the Bible like you're reading any other book. Look for something good in there, and that's not a bad thing to do. But God has so much more for you than that. He says that the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and remind you. He's going to convict you and enlighten your heart to application. You know, the Bible speaks to just about every issue we face. And where there's a little bit of gap between a specific issue and what you're facing, the Holy Spirit loves to enlighten us and reveal to us the specific application for our specific situation. You know, in that handout, in the bulletin that we gave you when you came in, there's verses in there for that I'm going to be talking on next week in my teaching. And at the top, there's a link that says how to have a living conversation. Maybe this week, the way you pick up the spoon is that you click that link or you go to that link and learn how to study the Bible in a way that interacts with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you sign up for the women's gathering. Those are Bible studies for women. That's another way to study the Word. And we're going to teach you how to have that living conversation there. We got men's studies that'll help you as well just get into that routine. And secondly, but that it falls in under the category of experiencing God through the Word and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we experience God when we walk in community with other believers. Listen, Jesus, God describes himself as a father. We're children. You don't want to be that child that stays up in their room all the time and never comes down to eat with the family. God won't let you do that. The blessing of the Lord comes as we walk in community with one another. There's a million ways that you could do community. Some of them are not even associated with Crossbridge, and I'm cool with that. But at Crossbridge, we really feel like the best thing that we can provide you is found in a life group. A group of people that are, most are part of this church, some are not. But that are going after Jesus, meeting regularly, committing to each other each week. We worship. Sometimes we eat together. We study the Bible. We share testimonies. We pray for one another. half the blessing that God has for you is going to be found in your devotional time. The other half is going to be found as you engage in the community of believers. Maybe today you need to pick up the spoon by joining a life group, finding a community, or if you're in a life group like Nathan was, going one step deeper into learning how to become a disciple maker. See, because the third way that we experience God, broad category, is by revealing the love of Jesus to others in the world, to people who do not know why they were made, don't know how much Jesus loves them, don't know how good he is. You know, there's a reason God didn't, when you trusted in Christ, there's a reason God didn't just swoop you, zap you up into heaven. It's because he is building a family, adopting people who say, yeah, I want to be in your family. I want what you have, like Zacchaeus did and Bartimaeus did. And in his generosity, he's told us, I want you to come with me. We're going to go and we're going to tell the world about the love of Jesus. We're going to make disciples of all nations. We're going to reconcile people to God so that they can know the same thing that we know. And so one of the ways that we experience him is when we invest in other people. And so one of the ways you may need to pick up the spoon is by learning to share the gospel. How can you tell someone about the love of Jesus if you don't know how to share from the Bible, the gospel? We'll teach you. You can go to our disciple making website right now, disciple making page, and you'll see a video on how to share the gospel. You need to know how to share. Maybe picking up the spoon is learning how to share a story in your own life of how Jesus transformed you. Maybe it's beginning to pray the include me prayer. How many of you know the include me prayer? It's simply this: Jesus, wherever I am, whatever you're doing, would you include me in what you're doing? Start praying that he loves that. Start praying for people specifically. Start caring for them, share for them, share with them. Maybe you're struggling with an issue of bitterness or something like Nathan mentioned. And he mentioned a couple of things. He mentioned our Conquer series for men. He mentioned our Freedom Prayer Ministry, picking up the spoon. You can keep limping along. You can keep walking around the buffet at Golden Corral, starving, or you can pick up the spoon. I want to invite Mary Callen to come up on stage. Come on, give it up for her. Mary Callen has been in Monado. Mary Callen Freeman. She does happen to share my last name. But I want her to share just a story of picking up the spoon in revealing the love of Jesus to other people. Step up to the front so they can see.
Good morning. Well, yes, I was in Manado, Indonesia for 3 months. That was a big pickup of the spoon for me. I was leading a team of college-age interns, and we were living in Manado with other Indonesians all in a house together and daily going out and doing that, revealing God's love to other people. And so I want to share a story and then a brief encouragement. One day we were out. We went to a beach area. We felt like Jesus was speaking, we needed to go to this beach. And so we went, and it was a predominantly Muslim area, and we just started talking to people, just building relationship quickly, and it's really common to talk about faith there, and so it's easy to get into conversations about the Lord. And most people were honestly very closed. That's pretty common in areas where just very strong Muslim culture. And so we kept sharing with people, and I was honestly getting a little frustrated. I was like, I want people to know the truth. So finally, we started being a little bit more bold, kind of picked up the spoon again, and we kind of raised our joy level. And we just walked up to a random guy on a motorcycle, and we said, hey, we love to share about Jesus. Can we talk to you? And he's like, okay. And so we start talking to him, and he's actually a believer. And as we're talking, this is pretty common in Indonesian culture, two other men just kind of walk up and start listening, which is a little awkward, but we just kind of kept going because it's evidence that the presence of Jesus and the truth is attractive to other people. Just like in the New Testament, when Jesus preached and other people came in crowds. So we keep talking to this man on the motorcycle, knowing that these other two guys are listening. And eventually the guy on the motorcycle leaves, and then one other guy drifts away, and there's one guy left. And he's wearing kind of a kerchief over his face because he was driving his motorcycle. And we said, hey, well, do you know Jesus? Do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? And he's like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. And so we start really simply just sharing the gospel and sharing the truth of, well, the wages of sin is death and we're stuck in sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We just start sharing with him the hope that we have. He's getting excited. And we're like, well, do you want to decide to follow Jesus? Do you want to pray and start following Jesus today? And he's like, well, yeah, I do. And so we pray with him and we finish praying. And he said, well, I just feel new. I just feel fresh. And I said, well, that's biblical. You are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And he's just so excited. And so we pray that he would receive the Holy Spirit, and we pray and teach him how to hear the voice of the Lord. We open John 10 and we talk about how he is a sheep and how we can hear the shepherd's voice. And we pray again and we're sharing things we feel like that still small voice of the Holy Spirit is speaking. And he says, well, I just felt like a fire in my chest. I just feel a warmth. And we're again like, well, if that's the Holy Spirit, he's a rushing wind. He's a fire. He's just so excited. He starts opening up to us about a lifestyle of alcohol abuse and other problems in his marriage and how he's stepping into this new life. And we're full of joy and he's full of joy, and we go on. And our summer was really full of stories like this, of picking up the spoon and sharing in maybe a way that was outside of our comfort zone, or in sharing with people that are very different from us. But it really came, the commonality in all the stories we saw. I mean, we saw between 150 to 200 people over the summer decide to give their life to Jesus. Yeah. And we saw people have their eyesight restored, and we saw people have back and knee and hip pain restored. We saw little children learn to hear the voice of God and get pictures from the Lord. And over again, the commonality in this was that the sharing was coming from a place of overflow. Our team and our Indonesian friends too are so full of truth and so full of love that it just, other people got splashed. And I think sometimes when we talk about sharing from overflow, we think about a cup of, okay, I just gotta make sure it's full all the time so it will go over. And that's true in a sense, but really in Matthew 7:38, it talks about how when we've encountered his love, from our heart flow streams of living water. So it's more like we're just kind of in the stream with Jesus, and we're riding in it, and we're picking up the spoon in the stream, and other people are getting splashed, but it's not just something we muster up. I didn't say, okay, I'm going to go to Indonesia for 3 months, and I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to share, because I would not last for more than maybe a couple hours. We're just frail, weak people, but his power is made perfect in our weakness. And so that idea of sharing from overflow begins with, like they're talking about, with personal encounter, with meeting with the Lord in the morning, with praying, with listening to the Lord. And then the overflow is just so much more natural. I'm like, well, I have all of this. I want to share it with people. And what they're talking about with obedience, obedience moves the kingdom forward, not activity. And so it's not about how many good things you can sign up for, if you join 4 life groups, or if you, you know, just start adding to your list of things. It's really being obedient to whatever God is asking you to do. And so you need to listen to the Lord and say, how do I pick up the spoon today? How do I pick it up tomorrow? How do I obey what you've said in the Bible? And then you'll just get to see him work. And it's so fun and it's so worth it. I mean, I never thought that I'd be spending 2-3 month stints in Southeast Asia, but there's nowhere else where I could have just seen the Lord move like that. But it's the same here. I mean, the city we were in was like majority Christian, and very much like San Antonio. Most people would identify as Christian, but many don't have a personal walk with the Lord. And so everything I was doing there, well, I'm taking it back here, because it's just that simple thing of picking up the spoon, of being obedient to what the Lord's asking you to do. And I can be a personal testament that obedience is the fun with God. Sometimes you pick it up and it might be spinach and it might not be your favorite thing to eat right away, but it's also just getting to experience different foods. I mean, you just get to pick it up in lots of different ways. Just want to encourage you that it's so worth it. Jesus is so worth it, and he is your reward. And how much more do we want to store up treasure on heaven and not store up treasure on earth?
Thanks, girl. I pretty much raised her by myself, you know, single-handedly. Okay. Wow. Listen, you know, there's any number of people that could have shared testimonies like that. You know, I know. But very few I could have called on Saturday night and asked, hey, can you share tomorrow? I knew she would. Let me tell you, God has so, he gave you a spoon and he lays out the buffet because he has good things for us. So my bet, I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to sing one more song. And as we sing, I'm going to ask our ministry team to come forward for prayer. And my bet is that you know something that you should do to pick up the spoon that's unique to you. Maybe it's asking someone for their forgiveness. That's a pick up the spoon move right there. Maybe it's check going to the connection center. Look into something that's in the bulletin, getting in a life group, whatever it is. But my bet is that you have in your mind something that you need to do. But as we sing this next song and as we worship him right before we leave, just ask God. If you don't have something, just ask him or check it with him. Lord, is there another thing that you need me to do? That if I just picked up the spoon in that way, I would find new flavor, new life, new sustenance. And when he lays that on your heart, just say yes, because it will always be good. So I want you to stand with me now. We're going to worship the Lord one last song and give you the opportunity to come down and let someone pray a blessing over you. You may just say, man, I need to pray. I'm going to pick up the spoon and let one of our team members just pray over you. These are just normal people. Maybe today you realize you are far from God. The Lord says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who believes in him, that he died for us and took away our guilt. Anyone who receives him as the Lord and says, God, I'm going to trust you and follow you through Jesus. He says, anyone who does that becomes a child of God. So if today you want to believe and receive, just come on, tell one of our people, share it with them. Let them celebrate with you. And then I want you to take this spoon home. Don't give it back. For a while, keep it somewhere. Maybe it's your coffee spoon for this week. Okay, wash it, because I know you dropped it on the ground. I heard it. All right? Let's worship the Lord and come forward for prayer.